take a seat, you bloody batteries. Trust you don't. Why are there batteries on here? Why you got batteries? I feel like this is like typical in a lesbian household.
Diaries of a Dyke.
Welcome to Diaries of a Dyke. I'm joined by one of my favorite dykes in the whole world.
Oh, thanks, sis.
Rebel Reed. Are you right? Are you okay?
I'm just catching my breath. I'm just catching my breath, sis.
We've had a very dramatic couple of hours, haven't
just
we?
Just dramatic, sis.
We had a couple cameras die. What else happened? We couldn't get the stuff set up. I'm so bad at technical stuff, right? Look. So all these little cables and knobs and stuff.
Knobs, she says.
That I have to try and get to work on real crap. But we're here and we're going.
We've made it, sis.
So excited for you to be here.
Thank you.
Rebel Reed, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And in the voice, if you're not watching. I would hype you up and gas you up because you are one of the people that I'd love to do for that. There's so much to tell about you. But I'll let you, in your own words, tell everyone a little bit about you. The reason I wanted to get Rebel on this podcast is because, actually, it's quite sentimental. She is one of the first gay people that I ever met in my whole life. I was probably like 21. Yeah, and I don't know any gay people up until then. Like, for me, it was gay people were just in movies.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen. The L word.
Auntie Ellen, yeah.
Movies. Stuff like that. Xena.
She was
Xena. Gay, right?
She was on the show, but like, kind of underline.
Yeah, yeah. Because I always watched it. I was like, you and Gabrielle? Okay. But I met Reb, and I just remember thinking, holy crap. This chick is just so unique and so cool, so comfortable in her own skin. And I was drawn to her energy straight away. I was just like, I want to be her friend. And here we are.
Cute, sis.
7 years later.
Here we are.
And she's one of my best friends. And I'm very, very honored. But anyway, that's enough from me. Can you please tell everybody about you? Because I know a lot of people want to know.
Thanks, sis. I hope they want to know, sis.
They do, trust me. Every time you're on my Instagram or anything like that, they're always so curious. I think you're such a unique person. Yeah. I mean, for example, look at your face.
Yes, I have Johnny Depp on my face, or in Māori, Hone Depp.
Well, Johnny's not on your face, but...
I would let him, even though I'm gay, I would let...
You would?
I would.
Okay. That's interesting. Like, Johnny like Pirates of the Caribbean, or...
Johnny like Crybaby.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, sis, have you not seen that? He cries his tears into a jar.
Nah, never seen it. Okay, so yeah, Reb, explain your like facial hair and stuff, like your lack of it maybe.
Thank you so much. So yes, I like to wear fake mustaches because it makes me feel different. And sis, I just want to have fun in my day. Like, don't everyone just want to wake up and be different and just have fun?
Nah, a lot of people don't. A lot of people just follow the norm, I think. Yeah. I think that's why it makes you so unique.
Thanks, sis. I think it's my mum. She brought me up to not care about anything, sis. I was always told, don't worry about what people think, Rebel. She didn't actually speak like that, but sorry, mum.
Sometimes she does. Sometimes, yeah. She's like angry at you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. More bloodies and more F words.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's why I have this moustache on my face, sis. Because I want, maybe people that are watching might be like, oh, shit. I can wear a fake moustache, or a boy, he might want to wear makeup, you know, as a woman. Anything. Because you could do anything. You could be an alien. You could be whoever.
Yeah, well, because for me, it's not weird. Like, I see you like this all the time, so I don't double look. But I think it's when we're out in public, I notice more people double take you. Because the moustache she's talking about, if you're not actually watching, it's mascara. So she's using mascara as a moustache and like a little goatee. And that's, do you want like facial hair? Or is it just, like you said, just something to make you feel like a little bit comfortable? Is it like it's fun? Because, do you know, it's not, a lot of people wouldn't do that because they're afraid of what other people will think.
Yeah, shucks. I don't even think like that, but you're right. You know, like a lot of, I don't know anyone that puts mascara on their face and goes to eat Asia.
Not just you.
Just me. But what was your question?
Tell me. I don't know. I can't remember. But just tell us about you.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about your life, your... childhood, growing up, your hobbies.
Yes, I grew up in this house that you guys are seeing right now. 27 years, me and mum have been here. And this is kind of where it all really started. This is my first guitar, guys. Meet my guitar.
She's beautiful. Does she have a name?
She doesn't have a name, sis. She's nameless.
I thought musicians named their instruments.
I've named all my other instruments except for this one.
Is that just because she's like your very first one?
Yeah, and I didn't have that mind back in the days when I was a child. I didn't think, I want to name you.
So this is pretty much like your first girlfriend.
This is my first girlfriend.
Look how well you've taken care of her for all that time. It's more than you've taken care of anything else.
Sis, I'm so bad. I'm rough.
So bad.
Wink.
But I can't say much. I lose my stuff all the time.
Yeah. Sis.
Maybe it's a lesbian
thing. Maybe it's us. Anyway, so yeah, this is my first guitar, so this has made heaps of songs. Obviously, I make songs. Actually, little story, sideline story. Denny over here, also, if you guys didn't know, she is very musical and helped my band Valkyrie write a couple of our songs, if you didn't know.
Oh, thank you. You're very lovely, but if I'm you didn't not musical. Know. I really am not. I'm tone deaf. I am tone deaf.
Yeah, but you love music.
Wait, you agree.
Oh, shit. But you asked us, you're tone deaf.
Yeah, I can't sing. That's horrible. And to play them, I'm actually trying to learn to play the guitar.
Oh.
I watch the little like YouTube videos that I follow, but I have to like pause them. Like pause, because I'm like going too fast, Susan. Like, you need to slow it down. I'm trying to learn the chords.
Rewind.
But you're right, I do love to write songs. And it's one of my favorite things to do with Reb is to write songs, because she's so musically talented that I'll just be like, look, I like these lyrics. Could you make like a beat or something to it? And she'll just be like, boom, done. Voodoo. That was
Voodoo.
One of Valkyrie's first songs. That happened after a heartbreak of mine. And I was like, man, I need a vent. I need to like get this out of my system, the heartbreak.
She did.
So I text Reb. I was like, what are you doing? She was like, I'm at home making music. And I was like, cool, I'm coming over. And I think I came over. I had like some snacks and stuff. Had my track pants on, a hoodie on. I was
crying in my bed.
Eyes out. And then I was like, I want to write. So I wrote some lyrics to the song called Voodoo. And Reb made the chords and music behind it and stuff. And then it became a song. And the person that broke my heart ended up singing it. But that's okay, because we're friends now and everything is all good.
This is the real L word in South Auckland.
We're all sweet now, but it's just ironic, I guess.
It's pretty ironic.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, back to you.
Yes. So this, yeah, I do music. Love music, sis. Loved music since I could breathe. First ever guitar solo was Bohemian Rhapsody. So I heard that. Mum had a cassette tape. And I used to like push play and rewind and push play and rewind. And I said I would always learn it. And I haven't learned it, sis.
You haven't? That's probably the only thing you do. Can you write that down, sis? I'm going to write it. Wow, your pen's got gum on it. Love that.
I've got gum on everything. 2020, sis. I will learn that solo.
Learn Bohemian. Have you seen the movie?
I have seen the movie. That's the best movie.
Great freaking movie. If you haven't seen it, I fully recommend that Bohemian Rhapsody. Go and see it.
Oh, when his dad starts crying. Oh, I'm out. That was just too much.
Just even that feeling when he's on stage and they start singing back and I'm just like, yes. I can't remember the guy's name, but he played Freddy. I was going to say Freddy Krueger. Freddy Mercury. Freddy Mercury. So, yeah. Wow.
He did.
Your mum named you after one of the songs too, yeah, hey, Rebel?
So mum named me after Billy Idol and David Bowie. She was in love with both of them at the same time. Like, together, if they were one, she would have married them.
Because a lot of people ask where your name comes from.
Yeah. Right? And they think, oh, do you own Ripple Sports? No, I don't. And if I did, I would have been one when I made such a venture into business.
That'd be great, though. Oh, man. Great little business.
Sis, we wouldn't be sitting here for sure. We'd be in the Bahamas.
No, we'd probably still be doing this.
But in the Bahamas.
Not in your house with your 16 cats.
Hey.
Is that how many you're up to now?
16, but, you know, 11 physically here. And
you were like that meme, that crazy cat lady meme. You know, you've got all the like, you got the lesbian quality, you live with mom. Boy, I'm the only person that's about to say this to you. How many cats are you up to now?
16.
Oh, what's this little cat down here?
She just came 3 days ago, and we think it has cat flu.
Oh my gosh, you just told me I would wear a mask.
No, sis, it's not contravirus.
What's that? Coronavirus?
Oh, yeah.
What did you say? Contra.
Yeah.
Contravirus.
Coronavirus.
Do you know what buzzes me out about the coronavirus, right? Is everybody is freaking out about it so much. All I want to know is why, out of everything in the world, people are stockpiling toilet paper. A lot of people care about their butts. Like that, I realized.
I just don't understand. You can have a shower, wash your cock off. All good. What the heck?
In my mind, I'm just like, okay, if you're like stuck inside your house and you can't go out and buy anything, wouldn't you rather just panic about, I don't know, like water and food.
Or like death or like catching the virus and...
Well, that's why they're doing it, I guess. So that if they're stuck in their house, they've got toilet paper because apparently it's like a massive necessity to have. I mean, maybe that just...
necessity?
It's good. That's really good, sis.
I'm trying for you.
Yeah, I just I don't know.
It's a bit weird, eh, sis?
And it pissed me off the other day when I saw something online of this old man, and he was like 80 years old going shopping. There's no toilet paper left, so he had to buy paper towels. I was just like, nah, no one needs that damn much toilet paper. Also, if you're buying like 4-ply, all good. Like, you just need like one sheet.
Oh, sis, you are.
Maybe.
Thank you for your mathematics.
Yeah, I just felt sorry for the old people that don't get there. Or like the people that don't have as much money and then it can only go shopping like once and like, you know, every time they get paid or their checks come through or whatever. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah, it's just such a crazy thing that's happening. Anyway, I don't know how we got on the topic of coronavirus, but back to you being a musician.
Yes. What were we saying, sis? Sorry.
Where your name came from?
Oh, yeah, my name. Yep. David Bowie and Billy Idol.
Yep, cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's where it came from.
What else? So do you want to tell us about a little bit about like your career and your upbringing?
Yes, sis.
Let's
go for it. So my career, you know, career. Sorry, I had to say that 3 times to understand what the word meant.
Do you not really believe in careers?
Well, Korea, it just sounds like a country. But Korea. Korea.
So much meaning to it.
So much meaning. But I think, you know, my career, it's kind of like your passion. I think my career is obviously my band, I think, sis, you know? Yeah. I work for the Rock Shop, have for 10 years. Mm. And it is a great job, but my career...
Your dream is to be a musician.
I think, my dream is to be a full-time musician. Which is, band, music, Valkyrie.
That's what you live and breathe.
That's what music. I live and breathe is music. That was easy.
Yeah, thank I love you. It. You just want to like travel the world. I want everyone to hear your music, honestly.
Thank you, sis.
I mean, I'm just saying this because you're one of my best friends. You were one of the best musicians I know. I don't know anybody who could pick up any single instrument in the world and play it as well as Reb can play. And I'm not even guessing. Yeah, I will guess you, actually. I will guess you are because that's how much talent you have. But before you get all awkward and because you hate compliments,
yes,
let's touch on your upbringing and stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, so my upbringing, I was brought up by my mum, solo mum. She did everything for me, everything she could do. And I had the best life, sis. I was a free child. I would play outside with the neighbours who were university students, play hacky sack, play with my chatterings, dream. We used to dream, me and my mum, and I used to tell her, Mum, I'm going to be a musician, I'm going to be a rock star, and she'd be like, sweet, let's do it. You know, never ever said, not this time, but yeah, you should go and be a lawyer. No, she was always like, okay, whatever you want to do, let's just do it. And you know, this is a cool memory that I have of my mum when I was in high school. And we won the Pacifica Beats.
Who did? Your band?
Yeah, our band. Cute. Yeah, cute. And
Pacifica Beats, for anyone that doesn't know, it's like a South Auckland. Is it a South Auckland thing?
I think it's like all over now for high school, like Tangata Beats.
Oh, it's a high school thing where bands go and compete,
bands,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Papatoa High. Yeah, Papatoa High. Yeah. And we're an all-girl band and we did rock instead of Pacific music and we won it, sis. And I just remembered seeing my mum. She was just so happy, sis. She was just the happiest, you know? And I thought, shit, I need to really keep this going because that just inspires my music. It's kind of like it's the circle of life, Simba.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it. Kia ora. So that's my career. Music, I love making music, sis. There's something quite beautiful about it. And I love... Oh, you know, like, I made a song called Closer at my sister's house one time in Papatoa. And I had a little guitar and I was playing and I was really inspired about this holiday we went on. Holiday, sis, we went out north, me, you and...
Taupo Bay?
Taupo Bay.
Oh, yes, that was a great time.
When it was Dora.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, beautiful. And it was the coolest time, like, we're all on this cool, happy vibe and I've never really experienced this kind of vibe. And that's where Closer kind of came from, sis, it's from that trip. But anyways, there was this one time we performed Closer live in front of all these people and they held their hearts, sis, and they're like swaying. Oh. And the song that I had made because of our cool holiday had just made them feel so warm inside. Oh. It's a weird feeling. Like, it's such a weird feeling to know that music has the power to make you feel that good.
It does. It does. Because if you can't relate to the lyrics, you can relate to the beat or maybe to just something that you're feeling. Like, I feel like music... is a really great way for people to relate. That's why one of the reasons that I got into radio as well, because I love that. But I love that you're coming back to music for every single thing, because we're actually talking about your upbringing and you came back to music. But I love that because everything, you know, leads to music, and that's such a big part of your life.
Yeah.
But you were talking about you and mum and how it makes you so proud, and she is your biggest supporter. I love it. Like, if I've been at your gigs and stuff, and your mum's just sitting there in the corner with a big smile on her face. She knows every single lyric.
That's
and
it.
I'm just like, yes, mum. Le mama. That's what we call her, Le mama. And she's great. She's amazing. She's a biggest supporter. So she's always been cool with your sexuality and everything that.
Yeah.
Did she know? Or?
You know, she always said she had an idea, but because I had boyfriends. I had so many boyfriends in high school, sis. And I was always trying to hide, sis.
So did you always know as well then that you were gay?
I knew in primary when I thought, you know, Lucy Lawless, she makes you feel like a whole new person.
Always with the damn television programs. Oh my God. She watched it. Because, you know what? 5-year-old really knows about, like, sexuality and stuff like that. And
they didn't have it back on the day, like, on TV back in those days. It was all kind of innuendos. Like, pretending secret mystery, but you knew it in your heart that they were gay, you know?
Well, mine was...
Say it, sis.
No, mine was like short and straight.
Waverly.
What about Waverly?
I thought it was Waverly.
You Waverly?
No. Sorry, Waverly.
No, when Maya and Jay, that lesbian couple, and they're on short and straight.
So beautiful.
And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. There's a television program that has got a lesbian couple on it.
Yes.
And at this point, I didn't really know much about my sexuality because I would have been real young.
Teenage.
Like a teenager, I guess, just coming into high school. And I was like, okay, that makes me feel a certain way.
Makes you feel like, okay?
Well, no, it got me a little bit excited.
Oh, shit.
Because I hadn't addressed those feelings yet. And I was oh my God, two girls kiss make my heart go real fast. And a lot of other things go real fast as well. And I was like, it started to make sense. But that was kind of mine. So it's just interesting when you say about Zena, because you would have seen her on television as well. So it's crazy what we see in the media that makes us kind of be like, okay, I'm not the only one in the world that feels like this.
I know.
Sorry, back to Zena.
No, that's okay. And I honestly think media is such a good platform, you know, for that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Zena, Lucy Lawless was definitely my first love of my life. Cute.
Have you met her before?
I have, sister. Don't make me talk about her.
What's her real name?
Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless, yes, of course. Sorry.
I have met her.
Last name, for any reason.
Yeah, I've met her, and I met her at Pleasure Dome, and my other best friend, Omia, was there. Oh, sis, we just finished watching her, and she was beautiful, and I've never, ever seen her in real life. And she came into this, like, bar that they had there, and you could just see her on the side, and I was like, oh, my God. I'm literally, like, 6-7 steps away from Lucy Lawless.
I'm so sorry, sis. Your story's amazing, but someone decided they want to start doing the lawns.
It's just some pottering around, sis. It's all right. It won't be that loud.
It might pick a cup in the back. If you can hear it in the background, so sorry.
It's not toys.
That's what this should be called. Go, sorry. Okay, continue.
Anyway, so Lucy Lawless is right there on the side, and I'm having a panic attack, sis. I can't breathe. This is like your all favorite person in the world has just rocked up right next to you. And then Omia, she's like, hold on. And she walks off, and she, oh my gosh, I had to put my head down. And I could slightly see her. She went up and she tapped Lucy on her, like, underneath here. She's like, excuse me, Lucy. Excuse me. And then Lucy turned around and she's like, I'm so sorry to interrupt. And she's like, but your biggest fan is here. And she's my best friend. And I really need you to come and meet her. Can you come and meet her? And she's like, of course. Of course. And then she came, sis. And oh, my God, I couldn't even breathe. I couldn't even, like, I think I was going to faint. And I looked up. And I was like, kia ora. I was like, kia ora. And she's like, oh, kia ora. And she kissed me. And then she whispered in my ear, sis.
Oh.
Like, legit. I'm not even lying. She whispered it in my ear. And she's like, I saw you in the crowd. And then she gave me a nice hug. And it wasn't like, not like it thrills. I saw you. She saw me in the crowd, like, acknowledged that she had seen me.
Oh my gosh, what a lovely lady.
And I think I just died,
sis. Also, you would have got your thrills. Like,
yeah. And like, I was just like,
my and life then, is made.
And the last thing I said to her when she pulled away was, A-E. I said A-E because I couldn't breathe. I couldn't speak. I said A-E was the last thing she heard out of my mouth.
She probably wouldn't have known.
She's like, what is that?
Why did you say that? Were you just overwhelmed?
Because I was overwhelmed that she said that in my mouth. Sorry, Lucy.
A-E in your mouth? Can you relax?
Sorry about that.
Such a Lucy Lawless story. Okay, cool. I love that.
Yeah, so that's my first gay crush.
Yeah. Your first gay crush, Lucy Lawless. What a great crush to have, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so you always knew from Lucy when you were like 5 years old that you liked girls.
Yeah.
And then you just see that you had boyfriends in like high school and stuff. So when was the moment where you, were you just kind of like trying? Were you like, oh, well, I might as well
try boys, sis. Because
I don't know, might like it.
I was brought up in the church, sis. And I did genuinely like and love these boys. Mm. But I thought, you know, the more I go out with them, the more my evil thoughts would be banished out of my head. Okay. And my papa was a minister and I never wanted to embarrass him. My nan was married to him. So I was just like, Rebel, oh my goodness, what are you doing? This is evil. So I forced myself to hook up with boys. And you have fun and whatever. And you like them. But you don't feel like that.
You just, it feels different.
Feels different?
You can't describe it. It
just feels empty. Yeah. Like you're kissing out the air.
Yeah, you just
nothing.
Yeah, I can't even describe it.
But when you kiss a girl, it's like a whole inside, like there's a scientific like meme and it's like atoms and electrons and like your body becomes ignited.
I know what you're talking about. But do you remember your first kiss?
Yes, my first kiss was with my first girlfriend, Alicia.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the best. It was the
it was the best kiss of my life.
But it was okay. No, it was the best feeling of my life because I had never kissed a girl before. We're in an elevator, sis. It was like Grey's Anatomy. Paint the scene. I'll put my American accent on. Okay, so we're in an elevator.
This is because you're talking about Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Right. We're in an elevator and we've been writing each other letters, you know, that we like each other because we didn't have phones really. And then in our letters, we're like, when I see you, I'm going to kiss you, you know, in the letters. And so the next time we saw each other after that letter was in the elevator.
Oh,
and
gosh,
I couldn't breathe. Sis, I couldn't breathe. Oh my gosh, she couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. And we're just standing there and there's only like three sis, going up to radio training school? The elevator.
Wait, where? Oh, in the city.
Yeah, in the city. Auckland city. Down by Burger King, you know?
I know the one. That's where I went to training school as well.
So three levels up. And I was like, okay.
You've only got three levels to do this.
You've got 3 seconds to kiss her. Yeah. Otherwise, your letter was build-ups. Anyways, back to my accent. And so we're breathing. And then she grabbed my hand. She's like, be brave. And then I kissed her and my whole entire chest went red like I had hives because I was so nervous. And I walked out of the elevator in complete bliss, sis. Like, because I've never kissed a girl. Always wanted to kiss a girl. And especially because I was in love with her. It was like, it was like a planet could have been born out of my bum.
Out of your bum? Would have been Uranus? Is that the planet?
Uranus. Okay. You got it, sis.
I see, that makes me so giddy because I know what it's like when you kiss a girl for the first time. And you just feel like home.
Oh,
like, you know, you're just like, wow.
This is right.
Okay, it makes sense now. Okay, cool, you had your kiss. And then you dated her and you were together for a long time.
Yep, for about a good 7.5 years. Yeah. And, you know, like, thank her for teaching me love and what not to do, what to do, and giving me that first kiss in the elevator on that Grey's Anatomy show.
No one forgets their first kiss or their first relationship or their first heartbreak.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
You put it in a song.
Yeah, and then you write songs about it.
Mm.
But she was a great girl. I don't know her for a long time, but from what I did, she's lovely. Yeah. And
no, she was beautiful. Yeah.
We all learn from everything as well. You talked about, can we go back to your religion?
Oh, religion,
and how you
said
that you were just dating boys because you felt the pressure and that you felt the pressure to be straight because your granddad was a minister and stuff like that. Because I feel like that's a very common thing these days. I get it all the time. People message me and stuff and they're like, I can't come out because of my religion. I'm going to hell. You know, it's
yeah.
So what would you say? Like, how did you go about it and what happened?
Well, I ignored it. I said, you're contradicting your belief if you're going to be gay. So just like, I push myself to like boys, push myself to do it. And then I guess when I was 18, when I got back from Samoa, we went on a trip in high school. I was like, nah, man, I can't, like, I really can't just pretend to do this. And I felt bad for them.
For the boys.
For the boys, because they're in love with a person that could never love them the way that they deserve to be loved. And they're beautiful boys. So I had a really bad time with that because I loved God so much and I felt like I was a disappointment. And it, literally only a couple of years, like 7 years ago, I forgave myself and was like, oh, God's not going to hate you because you're gay, Rebel, you idiot. Mm. He doesn't make mistakes. Anyways, yeah. So that was a hard war, sis, being gay in the church. Or not even in the church, but having religious beliefs. And sis, I've read a song about it.
Which one's that? What's it called?
Bad Girl.
Bad Girl. Do you want to play a little bit? Or no? Should we save it? We'll do another one and then we'll put it up online somewhere.
Oh, you're great.
The bad girl.
Yeah.
So, okay, for anyone that's listening that's like, because I definitely know there will be, and they're just like, I love God. I feel like he won't love me if I'm gay. What would you say?
I think if you're religious and you love whoever your God is, just really think about that your God or whatever you believe in could never hate. Because in all religions, there's no hate. So, I don't know, sis. It's kind of like your own... It's like you beating you. Or you helping you. I think finding other like-minded religious gay people would help. Mm. That would have helped me. Like, God, that would have took off 5 years of hating myself.
Because I think the biggest misconception is that when you're gay, you have to stop believing in God.
Yeah, or you... Yeah.
That's not true. Just because you're gay, you have to stop going to church. You have to stop praying. You don't have to do all that kind of stuff.
No, you don't. And some churches really just kind of help people, you know? They really help people. And it's different in every case, but there is a community out there now. Mm. Like, we should really be thankful of our communities today.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing a podcast called Diaries of a Duck.
trying to create those communities. But what did your grandparents in the end say about you being gay?
Oh, you know, like... They loved me, sis. My nan loved me. She adored what I stood for. And she never, ever want. They never judged me, my grandparents. And even though they had such religious beliefs, you know, they're still... They just wanted me to be happy and also wanted to save my soul, you know? Like, yeah, be gay, but get baptized and make sure you go to heaven. You know, they never...
There's more to you than your sexuality.
Yeah.
They weren't defining you by your sexuality.
No. And that's what I hope a real Christian should be, is someone that would accept any type of person and really try and love them even more.
Yeah. I mean, the world we live in, we know that's not going to happen.
Thanks, sis, but...
I mean, everybody is entitled to their own opinions and how they feel. And also, everybody is entitled to who they love.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
The first thing is just loving yourself and accepting yourself, and the rest comes with it.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yes, sis.
Okay, so we talked about the first kiss.
Oh yeah.
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 What do you think, like, when you got into a relationship with a woman? Were you just, what were the things you liked about it? Like, how was it different to dating a guy?
I think it's all, like, there's something always exciting about it. Like, oh, sad, that's sad. But it's always, you're always quite, not amused, but you're always quite, almost entertained, because it feels right.
Yeah.
And it always feels... There's a stage where it felt naughty, you know, that naughty feeling. Yeah. And it kind of was...
Should we be doing this?
I know. And it felt more exciting to be doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, the differences is like so far apart.
Mm.
Like, I remember being with a dude and he was great, you know, lovely, romantic, blah, blah, blah. But it just wasn't... There's just something about being with a girl.
Yeah, something was missing.
Something was missing, and it was that kind of emotional bond.
Mm.
And even for, like, straight people that have a lesbian fling, they...
Have you had a couple of those? You've had a couple of straight girls, I'm curious.
I have.
Mm.
And even they...
What do they say to you when you, like, you know, you guys experience stuff together? Do you think that they're secretly, like, wanting more but afraid to kind of...
Could be, yeah.
Venture more?
Yeah, it could be, but I think it's so nice for them to experience what a girl can offer. Like, obviously we can't offer what men can offer,
yeah,
and it's two different worlds, but I'm glad that some straight people have the balls to try what it's like to be with a woman,
yeah,
or even a straight dude with a gay dude.
Mm.
You know, there's something to be offered from the same sex,
yeah,
and it's so different that you can't even explain it. You have to try it to know it, Aces.
I mean tried it, never looked back, but I want to touch back on also your facial hair and how you've got your mascara on your face. So Have you ever wanted to be like a transsexual, or do you just kind of like dabbling in some facial hair?
I like, you know, I wanted to cut my tits off. That's the honest truth. But to do it, you have to go through all these procedures, which I didn't want to do, like that testosterone to grow facial hair, but then it changes your voice, and you got to do it for a year, and you know, like I just want my tits off. I've hated my tits since I was an intermediate.
Why is it?
I don't know. It just feels so yuck.
Is like, it because breasts are quite feminine? Like they're quite a feminine thing?
Yeah.
Because you actually have quite big breasts as well. So does it make you feel even more girly when you didn't really want to be?
Yeah. It makes me feel not right. Like looking at them makes me, and not saying I want a penis.
So you don't want a penis?
No, I don't want a penis. Okay. I just don't. I don't like the look of my breasts.
So you don't like the look of your breasts, or you don't like the look of you with breasts?
I don't like the look of me with breasts.
So you would have no breasts, but no penis either. You don't want a penis because I don't know. Excuse me for my uneducation, but like for a transsexual, they usually want both.
They usually
want no tits and a penis.
So I'm really weird. Like I'm the girliest tomboy who wants facial hair and no tits and no penis, but wants to still be treated like a girl.
That's just a lesbian.
Yeah, it's just a lesbian. I just don't like my breasts. Like, even if I was a girl, I still don't think I would want breasts. If I was straight, I just don't want breasts.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. I wonder where that comes from.
Yeah.
I wonder when you started, whether do you remember when you started feeling like that or?
Intermediate.
Okay.
When my mum's like, we better get you a sports bra. It's like, what for? These little things.
Man, I'd be really intrigued to know why. I mean, not a freaking psychologist, so I can't tell
you.
But I mean, like, you can have all you want. Like, it's your body. Yeah. You can decide.
Thanks, sis. Thanks, doctor.
I wouldn't... Dr. Danny. I wouldn't judge you for anything that you want to.
Thanks, sis.
But, okay, that's really interesting. Yeah. Can we talk about something as well that I wanted to touch on with you? Because especially, actually, lately I've been noticing it pop up a bit more on like social media and stuff, which is amazing, but I still don't think it's talked about enough. I don't know much about it, but I know you do because you've experienced it. Endometriosis.
Oh, that thing.
Yes, the big E.
Oh, God. What a disaster. What a disaster endo is. Yes, so it's a disease that I have that a lot of females have, sis. Like, tons.
What'd you say? 1 in 6 women have
one in six.
Endo.
Yeah, 1 in 6. That's about the same gay rate as well. One
probably.
1 in 6 are gay and 1 in 6 have endo.
Yeah, I'm so the one. That's probably about right.
I'm the 1 in 6 that has both. Oh,
you're special.
Thanks,
you're
sis.
Special.
Endo is, it's like this disease that no one knows about really. And it's such a bad disease, and no one's really paying enough attention on the disease to try and help females with the disease. To be honest, like, I barely got through mine, sis. I had my friends and my family and Google who got me through endo.
Really? Well, because no one talks about it. That's
a
problem.
Honestly, if you are a female and you have really bad period pains, just go to the doctors. And even the doctors, because they don't really know, and they say, oh, you're just having really bad period pain. Here's some Panadol. Kind of like push them and be like, no, I want to scan. I think I have endometriosis, because I went to the doctors as a kid growing up, and they just kept on pushing me away and saying, no, you're just having bad period pains, blah, blah, blah. And that's why endo gets so bad, because it's been left to just kind of fester and become these big tumors, which leads to all these ops, and I've had so many operations, blah, blah, blah. Had to have 2 operations in the same week, didn't I, sis? That was scary.
Yeah.
Had a full hysterectomy. Can't have children, sis. That ruined my life for a while. I'm okay now.
Yeah, because what people don't realize is that that process of you having your hysterectomy, it wasn't only just physical, it was so mental as well.
It was mental,
that
sis.
That was, for me, watching one of my best friends go through that, it almost made me feel very selfish. I mean, I don't know if I can actually have, I have no idea, I haven't tried yet, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I was just like,
would,
wow,
but,
she's
but
been
no.
taken, she's had this taken away from her. I feel so selfish for the fact that I can still.
Says you can't feel that way, but I know that you would feel that way.
Yeah, but I mean, if I have kids, they're pretty much yours anyway.
Oh, that's right. So I've got kids.
You're going to be Auntie Reb. But also, like, you just said, I mean, periods, you know, it does hurt, cramps hurt,
yes,
but it should never hurt so much that you were like in bed for days and
crying
and because that was Reb, and I was just like, like every month you would take days off work, and I'm like, nah, something's not right, like that's not just period,
that's...
but I feel like not a period, but I feel like a lot of women actually experience that.
Yeah.
Like I have friends, I have my sister, like me when I was younger. Like it's just a thing and you just get shut back with, oh, you're a period, shut up.
I know. You there's know? Such a stigma of like, as women, we should just deal with, oh, I sound like a suffrage person, but we should just deal with the pain, but yeah. We shouldn't have to because it's something's not right if it's that type of pain, sis.
So if you are experiencing that, go to the doctor.
Yes.
Say, I think I have endometriosis, get checked because you just never know and like get it before it gets too bad, right?
Yeah.
Because what can happen? You can get treated for it without an operation or?
You can, if you catch it fast, they can kind of find other alternative ways of preventing it to get worse. But because they haven't even delegated any money to study the disease so that they go really invasive and they just chop you up and pull shit out, which is really bad anyways. But I think the more we acknowledge it and the more we study it and the more we bring it into the media, like lucky we have platforms, sis.
Yeah.
Even then it's so hard for people to listen. We just really need people to understand it's like a disease. It's like cancer. Like it is worse than cancer at some stages. Like it can be fatal. It leads to cancer. So that's why I had to have my hysterectomy so it didn't go to cancer.
And how did you feel? How did you feel after your hysterectomy?
Oh, like, sis, I was a mess. Yeah. Sis, I was a mess. I was a mental mess. I was crying every single, like, I look at the sky and I start crying.
Was that just the fact that you knew you wouldn't be able to have children?
Yeah, that, and then obviously you get menopause when you have a hysterectomy.
Jeez, you just get it all.
You get it all, sis. Combo. So I have menopause. They induced it earlier. And that changes your chemicals in your body. Sis, I'm like, I'm okay now, but I was a wreck. Like I was always sad because of my meno and then always sad because of my no children. But then I realized, in my Christian way of thinking, God wouldn't do this to someone that he thought couldn't handle it. So I was just like, oh, well, I have other things that I have to do. I have to make music, sis. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I had kids, I would instantly give up my gift and my music to look after my children, mm-hmm. whereas my gift is to give.
I mean, you may not have them biologically, but
no.
There's so many other ways that you can have children these days.
There's children that need love. Yes.
Fungi, maybe.
Yes.
If you have a partner, she could carry.
Yes.
You know, there's so many other ways.
We'll ask Amelia when it's time.
Amelia Clark, here we go.
We'll ask her when it's time.
If this ever made it to Amelia Clark, what would you say to her?
I would say,
also Amelia Clark, mother of dragons.
Yes, mother. Game of Thrones. You know, I would literally just say to her, I'm just the poor man's version of Jason Momoa. No. All I could say to Amelia is we would have the best time of our lives. Okay.
Okay. Someone shoot me. What? So what? She likes cats.
Just living life, sis. Mm. You know, I would show her our Maori ways, do some music, she would do her acting. You know, it's just a bloody combo.
God, you're such a lesbian. You've thought about this way too much. I mean, you have thought about it step for step. If you ever met her, this was going to happen. You know what? Shoot for the stars, though. You never know what's going to happen. You met Lucy Lawless that one time.
Exactly. Jason Momoa got with his wife doing the same thing.
There you go. You never know. I'm going to ask you a question from our dear diary.
Okay,
this one's for you, if you can answer. It says, hi, I know I'm gay and I've known for a while, but I am way too scared to tell anybody about it. Do you have any advice? How did you do it? It was the very first person you came out to, or you told that you were gay.
It was Omia,
your best friend.
Oh, my best friend. It was Omia, then my mum. But Omia, oh sis, Maya and Jay, you know, Shorten Street.
Yes.
How you were just talking about them.
Yeah, and a darling, lovely woman. Oh. She's so nice.
Do you know them, sis?
Oh, okay. Oh, this is totally off track. One time when I was on the radio, I was talking about her in some light about Shorten Street, and she called up. She heard it, or someone heard it on the radio, and she called up, and I was so
flustered.
Yeah,
were you flustered?
Because my producer at the time was just like, Anna Jolene, who plays Myra's on the line. I thought they were joking. I was like, haha, funny. And I was like, hello. And she was like, hi. And I was like, oh, heck no, this is happening. She didn't realize what she had done for me, to be honest. Well, what her character had done for me.
Yeah, she's your Lucy Lawless.
She is, but the story was that I always saw her at the supermarket where I lived, because we lived in the same area. I looked like such a stalker. But I was just like, oh yeah, I see her all the time. And I kept seeing her at the mall, and I was just like, you know when you keep seeing somebody all the time and you wonder if it's a sign of something? Anyway, it wasn't. Haven't heard from her since then, but I mean, it was crack up to hear from her. That was my story. Anyway, back to yours.
That was really good, sis. Yeah. Well, Maya and Jay, your mate, yes. and a dual name. That's how I had to explain to Omia. I was in the car, we finished school, and I was like, gee, I've got something to tell you. And she was like, what is it, G? I was like, I couldn't even breathe saying it out loud. Saying it out loud is the worst, sis.
I am gay.
I am gay. Words. Fuck, that's the scariest shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was like, gee, you know Maya and Jay? She's like, yeah, from Shortland Street. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, I'm like Maya and Jay. She's like, what do you mean? And I was like, oh, I'm gay. Like Maya and Jay. And she's just like, oh, yeah, all good. Gee, I knew that. Oh, my God. Yeah, all good. And then she just drove on. And that was it. Sure so knew. Blasé. She knew it.
Isn't it the biggest build-ups when you've got this in your head and you're like, oh, God, the world's going to end?
Yeah, no.
And then, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but people are like, yeah, so? And it's like, oh, my God, why did I take so long to say that?
I know, sis.
So, okay, so that was your story.
So for that person,
yeah.
Find your... Yeah, if you want to come out to someone that you really trust, mm-hmm. Your parents, oh, that's scarier. Maybe your best friend. Start with your best friend first.
Yeah.
Or if your cousin is your best mate, try that first, my bro, my girl. And then just close your eyes and just say it real fast. Like, I'm gay. And then just be like, oh. Because once it's out, it's like the biggest weight off your shoulders.
Oh, amazing feeling. You're just like, why the fuck did I take so long to say that?
And you know what? You know what there should be, sis? Yeah. Idea. There should be a platform or like an app or somewhere on Facebook or Instagram or like Pinterest. And it's for people that can't come out to their friends or family. And they just write up on this wall. It's like this internet wall. And then you just write up, I'm gay. And you just feel good that you're releasing it to the world.
Trademark. Rebel Ray, Danny Fantasy.
Yeah.
In case anyone steals it.
You know, for Diaries of Dyke, like on your website, if you could make this little wall,
like a little post-it wall or something,
and they could be anonymous, but they could feel for their first time saying it out loud, be in a safe environment.
Yeah, or even if they don't say it, it's if you like writing like me, sometimes it's easier to write.
Yeah,
like I am gay.
Yes, yeah, like, on your website, if you have a little thing, I don't know what it would be, but an interactive wall where you can write out that you're gay and feel good about saying it.
And I feel like, especially like if you're just trying to say it for the first time, if you know anybody that is gay as well in the LGBT community, maybe it could be easier practicing with them or saying it to them, or because they're going to be a whole lot more open to it as well. I'm not saying that the person you tell, like your friend or family, are not going to be, but if you are that worried, you know, you could always practice with another person like that.
Yeah.
But it is hard. I know it's hard. Reb knows it's hard. Yeah. It's probably the hardest thing that I've ever had to do is acknowledging my sexuality.
Yes.
But if you don't, you're going to feel a whole lot worse. You're not going to feel like you're living until you actually make that step and the decision to do it. But that's in your own time. I'm not saying go and do it tomorrow. Like, hurry up and do it, because it's a scary thing. Also, you don't need to look at it as coming out.
Yeah, no.
Like,
it's
that
just,
is so just way in the past.
Kind of like a weight off your shoulder.
No one has to come out and be like, yo, I'm straight. So why do you have to come out and be like, yo, I'm gay?
Yeah, no, that's weird. That's archaic.
Yeah.
Just say it out loud. I'm gay.
Who cares? Well, actually, a lot of people do. But this is why we're doing this, guys.
Yes,
so
sis.
We can create a community, a safe place to talk about it. But thank you so much for everything that you've gone over today.
You're welcome.
What are you
sis.
Up to now in life? You're good? You're single?
I'm good. I'm single. Focusing on music, sis.
Are you looking for a relationship? I actually don't know this. I haven't asked you this in a long time.
Yeah, no, you haven't, sis. Last time.
How long have you been single now? It must be about a year.
Yeah, about a year and a bit. I'm looking for the right relationship, sis. Like, I want to be ready for Amelia Clark. Like, I don't want, you know, I don't want to pull someone along. I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I'm just looking for that right relationship. And I've got this book and it's called Soulmate or something. I can't remember. But it gives you steps on how to attract your soulmate. And it asks you all these questions, 10 questions. So basically it was like, is your room ready for your soulmate? And I was thinking of Amelia Clark, and I was like, oh, hell no. And then it's like, are you at a good workplace? Are you financially ready? And all these questions, and I take like 4 no's, and it's like, if you answer 1 no, you ain't ready to meet your soulmate.
Dude, that sounds so intense.
But it's so good, and like, I'm not ready for a proper relationship. But you know, it's just, I do miss a good cuddle. So if anyone wants to just cuddle me, I'd be down for.
Oh, God, here you go. You've opened up a whole can of worms.
Oh, no.
Really? I mean, people get paid to do that stuff, eh? You know, cuddling. When they cuddle.
I miss
a good cuddle. I love
a good hug.
Yeah, I like that's my favorite thing.
And
like
that's what I miss in a relationship. Mm. I miss the kind of safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to save myself for Amelia Clark and make sure that I'm on my game for her.
Amelia, yeah.
In the meantime, I'm going to be cuddling someone.
Well, God, you say, you say all this with your soulmates and all that kind of stuff, but they're going to come when you least expect it.
That's it.
They're just going to appear and be like, ha ha, lol about the book. thank you so much for everything. Thank you for being on the podcast. I hope that people that are listening or just even one person is just like, damn, I learned something today.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Whether it was to do with music, your religion, endometriosis, that was a very important thing to touch on as well. Yeah. Anything you want to finish on? Mike's yours.
I'd just like to finish on saying that I am very proud of you, Danielle.
Don't do about me.
I am very proud of you. I am very proud of this girl, guys. She is my best friend. Right there in the camera. And I just talked to Honey Depp. Hello. And she's going to change the world for our gay people. You are going to change the world. So thank you for having me on your show, Danielle.
It's honestly not me. All I'm doing is providing the gear that I have no idea how to use, and getting amazing people like yourself to talk about your experiences and your story so that people listening or watching can be like, holy shit, I'm normal.
Yeah, they're normal. You know? Yeah.
So we're going to get this out there. Okay. This is just one of the episodes. There are plenty more to come. Thank you again, Rebel Reed, for being on it. And I'll catch you next time. Yeah, lock us off with a song. No, wait, can we do Rebel Yell? Do Rebel Yell.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I'm not going to say.
Here's where my name come from.
That's where my name came from. Great intro.
In the rebel yell, she cried more, more, more. In the rebel yell, she cried more, more, more.
More, more, more. That's all I'm contributing. Bye.